Mr. Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Hey, welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we talk about the 80s television show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh.
And tonight, we are talking about Season 2, Episode 14, Home Again.
Garrison.
Hello, Allie.
Mama?
It's my brother, Garrison.
Well, that old man is not going to cheat my child out of his inheritance.
We have to give South Fork back to him.
Mama, you were talking about giving up our home.
We'll break you, Garrison.
You've trained this one well, Jack. He opens his mouth, I can almost see dollar signs rolling out.
He's telling it just like he sees it.
You want to fight? You got it.
You run Ewing Oil, and you do that well. But you do not run me!
It was written by Arthur Bernard Lewis, directed by Don McDougall. And it aired January 7th, 1979. We're in 1979, yo!
I know!
40 years ago.
Oh, Now I just feel old.
Guest stars in this episode were character actor Gene Evans, who played Garrison Southworth, and Melinda Fee, who played Kathy Baker, which is actually, ironically, the name of an actress who played Jill Brock, the wife of Tom Skerritt on Picket Fences. That's the actress's name, Kathy Baker.
And Gene Evans, he was old as fuck in this episode, but just so you know how old he was, his acting career started, like his first like acting thing was in 1954, and the last known recorded like acting gig he had was 1989. I don't know when he died.
He died in 1998.
Wow. There you go. So he must have just been like...
He looked older than he really was.
He did, actually, yeah. And this episode was number 11 for the week. I think this is the highest one so far, right?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. The week before it was 18, and that sucked. Why did people come back and more people join after the word of mouth of that episode?
But I think the word of mouth by season two had gotten good enough where people watched, like, the... You know, they used to have the commercials, like, next week on Dallas. Like, not even just the end of the episode from the week before, but, like, back in the day, like on CBS, they'd have like, you know, the commercial breaks would have breaks.
Yep.
It's like advertisements. And then they also have like, don't miss Dallas next week. Happens. I mean, that's what I did. I mean, I remember watching Dukes of Hazzard like a mofo because I saw the episodes coming from the next week.
Yeah.
Like I was so excited.
Yep.
So,
I'm surprised. But then again, people were watching those cop procedural things that were kind of like Kidnapped back then, so maybe that's what was popular.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe 1970s people thought it was good. I don't know.
40 years on, you look back and go, God, that was a pile of horse crap.
Right.
But,
it
but
was
honestly,
bad.
A lot of television shows that I loved in the 80s that I now find again to rewatch, and I'm like, wow, this is awful. So
I know. But you think it's good when you watch it a long time ago.
Right, right. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, this does not stand the test of time. So, you never know.
There are some that it do on these episodes. It's just this one. Or that one. This one's pretty good.
I love Miss Ellie so hardcore in this episode. This is my Miss Ellie. This is my Queen Miss Ellie. She is just starting off the show making inappropriate jokes to Sue Ellen.
We're going to the store and look at baby furniture. You want to meet us for lunch?
Well, thank you, Mother, but the Chamber of Commerce has asked me to speak today. They want to hear my success story. I'll see y'all later.
Well, he's not shy anymore, is he? Obviously. Miss Ellie?
What room was that that they were going to turn into? Have we ever seen that one before?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of, I guess it's by Jack and Miss Ellie's room. Maybe it's the room next to theirs?
I don't know, but Ellie's a boss bit in this episode.
She is. So good.
I would remember the ugly furniture if I had seen
it. Yeah, I don't think we've seen it before. I think maybe, you know, it's just a random room next to Jack and Miss Ellie's. Or pretty close, because they were worried about the baby crying and waking them up.
And JR was too busy to be, you know, too concerned with his speech for the Chamber of Commerce and his success story to really give a damn. But
he does not give a shit about baby furniture or any of that.
Or the color of the room, which apparently Sue Ellen decided to call Cliff for his consultation.
Right. And Cliff cares. Cliff cares a lot. And I love that conversation because he was just like, why are you doing this? Like, this is like, it kind of seems like he's trying to keep a wall up there because he knows he can't have her. He can't have the baby. And she's just like pushing through and she's like, no, you should check it out. And I think you can see him, how he's getting into it. The whole
and an act,
baby thing.
Act of love, she essentially ended it when she found out she was pregnant, saying she had to, you know, stay with JR and all this. And then all of a sudden we're dropping these little things here, like this is going to ramp up again. And I'm going, this is coming from out of nowhere. I mean, what the hell is this all about?
Right.
You know, it's...
I think that it has been ramping up for a while. I think that they might be maybe seeing each other on the sly a little bit. Some off-screen action.
Right. And then she...
Too much flirty.
Well, she excuses herself from Miss Ellie, and then she goes to a public payphone in the middle of a street.
She's like, I forgot I had to make a phone call. I was like,
she's not sly at all.
Right. And for a millennial out there, that thing that you saw on the street corner, that's what we used to call a payphone. Before cell phones, you had to actually put money into this device. You had to dial a number, and the phone was actually like on a like cord. It was like stuck to the thing. You could not roam around with it. You had to stay in one place.
It's true.
Those are called payphones, children. Payphones.
Yeah, but she's not. Sue Ellen isn't sly at all. She like literally will like call him and like whisper on like the main Ewing telephone right by the stairs. And it's like,
right?
Yeah, I know.
You're terrible at this, Sue Ellen.
Teresa and Raul were wandering that house all the time. They would have the ultimate tell-all book about that family.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Forget Valine and her Capricorn crude over at Knott's Landing. This would be like Raul and Teresa blowing the lid off the ranch there.
I do have a question.
Okay.
After the scene where they say they're shopping, blah, 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 she makes a phone call, Ellie's going to wait on Pam, fizzles out, and then it cuts to the ranch. And Ray and Jock are on the ranch, and they're sitting on the ground. They see a black oil spot, and they sniff it, and he's like, oh, so it's crude oil. Okay. That's like really only one of like two references made to that in the whole episode. So what was the point of that? Like, was that saying, is that going to lead to something else? I don't remember that at all.
What, the crude oil on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, because they found it on a certain part of South Fork.
Section 40.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. I didn't hear that part.
It's Section 40.
Yeah.
Which is huge, guys, if you're listening, Section 40.
Right, because Ray pulls up in the white pickup truck with that crazy, like, Native American jacket that he's wearing.
Yeah.
More fashion sense here. And tells Jock that one of the people out, one of the hands saw some crew out there, so they drive out there with that funky like porno driving music going on in the background.
Yeah,
and they must have switched truck because they went now the truck that they went out there with had no top. It was like a topless truck that they rode out in. And they went from Ray's like white truck to a white truck with no top. I don't know if it like maybe they hit a branch and the top fell off. It's just like, so then they found that the pool of oil, and it led to JR calling Jeb and Willie Joe and telling them that their crew was sloppy, and Ray had his friend snoop around to see if any of the oil crews in the area had been out there, and some roughneck named Charlie Waters came up later and
JR.
You know, that's that whole part of the storyline.
Right.
That was like the B storyline.
Yeah. So then after they are shopping, they come home and
we forget like the beginning we have.
That's when
Garrison
and Cassie come to the door with the picture.
Well, he has that painting at the hotel.
Yeah.
With the tiny house that is it's no reflection of the house that was used in like War of the Ewings, which not War of the Ewings, the early years.
Yeah.
Right. And like it was like a little clapboard house. In the middle, it would look like something a Little House on the Prairie.
And he hates it. He thinks it's a piece of shit.
Right, because he's a damn art critic for all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, I think he always, because he's into art. I mean, that's what Miss Ellie always says, that he's into art like Gary.
Oh,
which, yeah. By the way, it's been a while since I watched these episodes, but I completely, like, didn't put together Gary Garrison.
He was named after him, right? That's what...
explosion in my head. I was like, holy shit, I totally forgot about that.
Together, you know, because I didn't remember that at all. Like I said, yeah, it's been years since I've seen this episode.
Oh, I knew that, because they were very similar, too.
Right. Yeah. They're very similar.
They're both wanderers and drifters. And
with that weird explosive temper where, you know, getting mad over spilt milk for real, and then mad about a painting. Yeah.
But
Literal spilt milk.
When Garrison first comes to the ranch, though, Bobby's on the phone and like, where are Raul and Therese going to answer the door?
Right. Where are they?
and then Bobby lets this total stranger in the house. The last time you let strangers in the house, they kidnapped you and had school and
parade around. Have we learned nothing?
Exactly. They're smoking a doobie in the back.
Yeah, they are.
But Bobby, the week before, you were just kidnapped. You're going to let strangers into your house?
Bobby's like 10 days before, guy.
You literally were kidnapped.
Come on in, yeah.
Not the smartest guy.
And then, like, 2 months before, your whole family was taken hostage in that house from two strangers.
Right. I mean, shit.
And Sue Ellen's sashaying or parading around singing People Who Need People and, you know, just, like, crying.
It's all bad.
Right. But let's let these strangers in our house, because that's what we do.
Yeah. And so then he says he leaves the painting, says he's coming back later. And then
we don't know if it's the painting, or they don't know if it's the painting, because they have no painting.
So then after the shopping scene, we cut to cocktails before dinner, of course. And
gonna
then
have a cocktail.
And
they are Dr. Skeptical.
Miss Ellie makes her second sort of off-color joke of the night.
Is this a stag party, or may we come in?
Like, Miss Ellie's on fire.
I love back her.
Here. Who's the writer here? Okay, Arthur Bernard Lewis. Okay.
Yeah, keep writing, so good. Keep writing. Exactly.
Yeah, you could just, that whole thing. She's funny.
Yeah. And, of course, Sue Ellen is also drinking in her pregnancy. Nobody cares.
Because she wants to give the baby fetal alcohol syndrome, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is what happened to John Ross.
Oh.
You're an asshole because your mom drank.
Right.
Your mom's an alcoholic. You're an asshole and a cheater.
It's not because your dad's an asshole. It's because your mom drank and your dad's an asshole.
Yes.
And that's why you have one green eye and one blue eye. Yes. No.
That's the reason.
Sorry, Josh Henderson.
The only thing I really have after, like, the, you know, JR and Dr. Skeptical, they were talking, it goes to the scene where Bobby and Pam are in the bedroom, like, kind of discussing it or whatever. It's so short.
Well, no, wait.
Did y'all notice that?
They give Garrison the third degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did Garrison ever drink that wine?
But he got real defensive. Because, I mean, he was offended by their conversation, obviously.
Yeah.
But
he
asked if, he's obviously buddy-buddy with Digger. He asked if Pam had made Digger a granddaddy yet. And Sue Ellen kind of choked on that line there, knowing that she was porking Cliff in the background, you know.
Oh, God. I didn't even, like, pick up on that.
Yeah,
oh.
She goes, and she, like, kind of, like, bitter drink out.
I didn't realize it was because she thinks it's Cliff's baby. Oh, see. Totally over my head. Love it. Because she's drunk as fuck. She's been drinking probably the whole afternoon.
Okay, yeah.
But she's not drunk enough to be concerned with the legacy for her children of having that ranch and all that stuff. No.
JR gets paranoid out of nowhere. He's just instantly like, someone's going to take my stuff.
I knew he came here for some reason. Used to hang around with Digger Barnes, sang the same refrain over and over again. Ewing stole everything from him.
They're doing this for awful reasons. Everyone wants my things.
And then he has to go out and question Ray, you know, with the finding the oil and telling him, no, that's probably one of the trucks. Have the people check the truck. And Ray goes, no, that's crude oil. And goes, well, what does an old cowboy know about crude oil?
Well,
I feel like he's been around a few years. It's,
yeah.
He knows a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And then they get into that fight, Miss Ellie and Jock.
There'll be no more talk about giving away South Fork.
Jock, we do need to talk about it.
You're overstepping your place, Miss Ellie.
My place? Just what is my place?
It isn't running this ranch. It isn't running Ewing's businesses. It isn't saying what we keep or what we give away. I am still the head of this household, with or without your permission.
I've asked Garrison and Kathy for lunch tomorrow. Do I need your permission for that?
Oh,
she stands up to Doc, and she's mad.
She's so mad.
It isn't her.
But I love when she is feisty.
It isn't her place, Jock. What is her place?
Yeah. Not her place. Like, dude, Jock. Like, that is her house. Like, she was born there. Like, you walked into it, man. Like, that's literally her house.
Yeah, and yeah, she more. Do I need your permission for that too? And I was
right.
Like,
oh, yeah. I was like,
I love you,
girl.
I love you.
Yes. Yeah.
She will bounce your ass out of there like she did to Clayton Farwell.
She was pissed. I forgot about that. That's
but we'll get there.
Like, maybe.
Yeah.
Like five seasons, but.
But JR tries to turn it into a Barnes Ewing feud again, you know, saying, "Oh, Digger Barnes, Drunken Barnes."
And then now, JR tries to immediately find dirt on Garrison through his little detective people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a woman and you come to South Fork and JR wants to show you around the ranch,
right? Be prepared.
Hey, Miss Baker, I heard a lot about you.
Hello.
First time to Dallas, is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, how'd you like to be shown around a real Texas ranch?
Well, I'd like that very much.
Just call me JR.
JR.
Yeah? Say, Bobby, I'm going to show around the ranch. When are you all getting married?
We're not getting married.
Oh, well, I thought that's what this was all about. I thought it was a little scheme on your part to marry a rich old guy and grab yourself a nice chunk of Texas landscape.
No, of course not.
Well, I just thought it funny, pretty girl like you hanging around with an old dinosaur like that. I didn't think it could be for love and affection alone.
Oh, you disgust me.
Hey, wait a minute, I don't believe that. Under a different set of circumstances, we could have been real close friends.
Oh my God.
That is his thing. That's his MO.
Yep. He's either gonna like just basically kill you in the ranch, or he's gonna try to hit on you and show you his penis. That's pretty much what's gonna happen. You're either gonna get one of two.
And he was like giving her both options, honestly, because like he accuses her and then she gets mad and runs off and he's like, Well, we could have been good friends, you and I, and it's like, ugh, gross, JR. Yeah, stop.
He could dip a stick, you know. I mean, did you notice that when they were out there though, I don't know if you noticed that there were cars driving by in the background behind the ranch?
Yeah, I did notice that there was some stuff going on back there. It was a weird part of the ranch.
Because they're in California shooting on not South Fork.
Oh, that makes sense, because it didn't actually look like South Fork at all. So that totally makes sense. They're just in a park or something.
So what happens, Kathy, they come back, and she and Garrison, like, leave, and we have the Ewing versus Southworth battle brewing here. You know, it's like, oh boy.
But when they come back, it shows Jock's ugly blue coat and very ugly plaid pants.
late 70s fashion.
It's like somebody just threw up an outfit on him and said, hey, where is this in the scene? It's awful. It's like one of the worst combinations. I know that's the 70s, but it's the worst combination I've ever seen, ever. Like a bright blue.
Can we go back to Guzzler's wardrobe?
I'm about to screenshot that outfit and put it on Twitter right now. It is awful.
We should screenshot Guzzler's wardrobe too. There with those friggin' checkered porn pants, you know.
This is beats it or it comes close second. I'm gonna say right now, and I'm gonna screenshot it right now.
JR was really overstepping it with Miss Ellie there. He looked very dismissive of her.
She like, dude, that's your mom. Show some respect, boy.
I don't want to quote Mr. Pudding Pop here, Bill Cosby, but when he said, it's like when he said to Theo, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out of this world.
I'm just...
J.R. Miss Ellie brought you in and she will take you out. So don't you mess with mama.
Right. She was not taking it, nor should she, and just do not fuck with Miss Ellie. She will cut you.
So Bobby and Pam go over to the hotel.
Right. Because they always have to solve everything.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's like heart to heart here.
Yeah.
Right. Why didn't Kathy just come right out and say that he was dying? She had to beat around the bush with the freaking, like, just get to the point, woman.
It took her, like, 17 minutes to just say he was dying. Like, come on. And also, she's, like, explaining the stages of grief, and she missed a bunch of them.
Right.
She's like,
I got up and I ordered a pizza and I went and picked it up and I came back and she was still telling them it was there.
Can I ask a question though? Okay, when Pam and Bobby went to the apartment, Kathy told him he was dying. He came home to die. Okay, then when Ellie goes back, he tells her, I'm dying. Does anybody ever hear what he's dying of?
Nope.
I just thought maybe I missed it, but I was like,
I think they left it to our imaginations.
He's dying of a scriptwriter's pen, because the scriptwriters wanted to kill him.
They're like, let's just not be specific. He's old, he's dying, whatever, it's fine.
He's dying of Arthur Bernard Lewis syndrome.
But it bothers me. I want to know, are you dying of cancer? Or you know,
it's probably cancer.
Knowing what we know, Pam and Bobby are in bed that night, and she go, I'd want to know if I was dying. And I'm going, oh, God, that's ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, oh, okay. And then, JR and Sue Ellen are still thinking she's a mistress, this Catholic person.
Yeah.
And Sue Ellen goes, well, most mistresses have expensive tastes. It's like, oh, shooting at JR.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And did you catch that speaking of mistresses, when JR was approaching her, Kathy, originally, and talking like she was his mistress, she basically called Garrison ugly. He's basically like, well, you're not with him for his looks. And it's like, whoa, buddy, settle down.
You're like,
she's mama's brother. I would have liked to have seen, at some point during the series, find out that he actually had a family and have them come back and lay claim to the ranch.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
That would have been cool, because
he was a drifter, so he could have just, like, walked away from a family or something. You never know.
Right. He could have left them to die of unknown cancers.
Right.
Unknown illness. Did anyone notice on the porch at breakfast, it looked like a row of the production lights was in the top of the shot out on the porch?
No, I didn't. I did not see that.
It looked like there was a row of, like, the production lights from the sound stage.
That's funny.
I did not see that.
I'll have to go look, and if I find it, I'll screenshot it.
Yeah. And Lucy's never at school, as usual, again.
No.
Last episode, she wanted to go to a school in New England.
Sunder.
Probably so she could go bang some ski instructor or something in New England.
Probably. And then, after Miss Ellie goes and talks to him, and then she comes back to the house and has that family meeting, and
Pam got there fast. Pam shut up real fast. Bobby said, I called her and she's on her way home, and then she walks in the door. It's like,
well, maybe she has a car phone in her fancy car. She probably would. Yeah. Like one of those big car phones.
Car phones will get her in trouble. We'll just say that much.
That's right, because she does have. Well, I guess at least Bobby has a car phone, but whatever.
Right, that's going to get her in trouble later. So.
Much trouble. But, eyes on the road, Pam. Distracted driving.
Foreshadowing, as we call it in this episode of years later.
But I feel like everybody, like, they have they're just dicks about the whole thing with Garrison. And then she's just like, well, he wants to come here to die. And then they're all like, oh, that's all cool. That's fine.
Oh, great, great.
Everyone's cool with it.
That reminds me of going back to that show Picket Fences again. There was an episode. Did anyone ever watch Picket Fences in the early 90s?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, okay. It was in a small town in Wisconsin, and there was a Zelda Rubinstein who played the little lady in Poltergeist.
Yeah.
She played the receptionist at the police station, but she was missing for 3 weeks. And they found that she had fallen in her flip-top freezer and died. She got frozen because she was reaching in for a bag of peas, and her brother shows up, who's played by Paul Williams, who wrote The Rainbow Connection. And he can't understand why she was missing for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden everybody loves her, and Jill, the doctor in the town, she goes, oh, well, that's the great thing about Rome. They're here for, everybody's here for you when you die. It just reminded me of being of, oh, Garrison's coming home to die. Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, that's fine, then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
He'll be dead. As long care then.
So soon he'll be dead, and then his grave actually showed up again in episode 279 years later.
Who's Garrison?
279? What season is that?
That's
like 80 episodes from the end.
Things ain't going too good at South Fork again. That is... Yeah, they show Miss Ellie's mother's headstone, and it established that her name was Anna, but in the early years, her name was Barbara, probably as a tribute to Barbara Bogans.
Oh, when Ray stalked? So that's like season 10, 11?
10, yeah.
10 and 11.
Okay.
Okay, we talked about the breakfast scene. I asked about why Garrison's dying. Oh, the guy at the pool hall that Ray talks to, Grady?
Yeah.
Who is that? He plays somebody else on this show later, does he not? I just can't recognize him, but I swear to you, I gotta look it up. Because he's somebody in something else.
Yeah, and then JR, they mentioned Charlie Waters, who had worked, and then Charlie Waters went to JR. So JR is one step ahead of Ray again.
Right.
So we are... In this episode, we're seeing strands of discord between JR and Ray.
Right, because they're not going to be friends again.
Right, which obviously stems from the Garner and Ethan. But they only come together, you know, they'll fight amongst each other within the family, but when the outsider threatens them, they band together, despite what their problems are, and deal with the outsider, and then they go back to beating each other up.
That's very, right. Very true, yeah.
Yeah.
On every episode, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that at one of the barbecues down the road. That they referenced. Yeah. So, what are you looking at?
The guy Grady. It really bothered. He's very familiar, and I think he plays somebody else on Dallas later with more episodes. I don't know. It's who Ray's talking to at the pool hall. His name is Grady. So if we could figure that out, that'd be great.
I will look it up before next time.
Okay. So back at South Fork, the whole family is called in. Ellie wants to announce it to everybody. She tells all of them about Garrison dying.
And not to make a fuss. He doesn't want anyone to make a fuss.
Right.
Yeah, his one favor to come back was no fuss, no tears.
Well, that won't be a problem with JR, because JR doesn't give a rat's ass. So he's actually going to be dancing on his grave.
The only person who's going to have tears is Miss Ellie. Nobody even knows him. So.
Right. And it's really sad when he comes back and he's there and they're like spending time together. And then the ending is where it shows her and Garrison like walking on the ranch. And he's like, it's great to be home. And then it ends. And I was like, it's kind of cheesy, but it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like,
another self-contained episode, but exactly. delving into that South Fork history and the Ewings versus the South Fork, oil versus cattle and the ranch and the don't you know. And I think that they bring up the Section 40 probably because Ellie's father, just as a reminder of that Ellie's father never wanted drilling on the ranch, but just ties to that part of the legacy of South Fork legacy. That's the legacy of the ranch.
So IMDb is saying that Ken Kercheval is uncredited in this episode.
Yeah, because in the episode before, he made it to the front of the show, but not the opening credits. But in this episode, there were no guest cast listed in the front of the episode.
Yeah.
So would he have regressed to the back end of the episode again? If, or was he mistakenly dropped?
I think he was just probably, maybe they just mistakenly dropped him from the whole episode.
Well, he only had that one scene with the color of the
ground. I know, but he's still fucking Cliff Barnes.
Right. So it seems to be perhaps a mistake.
I mean, maybe they thought at this point in the show they didn't know exactly how big of a character he was going to become in the series, and maybe they didn't give him as much credit as he should have gotten, because, I mean, he is, I mean, of course JR is like the biggest character, but over the time of the show, Cliff is just as important as, you know.
And some of their back and forth coming up in the future seasons, stay tuned for some of that, people, because some of that is priceless. I watch clips on YouTube, and I'm just like, oh, God, who wrote this? just clapping. We don't see that anymore on television. It's sad. You know, we just don't see stuff like this.
Yeah, it's true.
Thank God we don't see stuff like the episode Kidnapped, thankfully.
Thank God. Because I would throw my TV out the window if that happened.
Yeah, I'm just flushing that episode from my mind. Ugh. Along with
Lincoln. And it's too bad our TVs now might be a good thing that our TVs now are flat panel, because if you had to pick up one of those old school TVs and throw it out the window, you'd probably stain your back.
Oh, you 100% would. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some chemical or fume or gas, toxic gas from the like tubes would come out. Poison in the neighborhood. It would like, ugh.
So I gave this 4 bourbons.
I gave this one 4.
I think Charlie Waters is coming back.
I gave it 4.
Those
two.
Josh, what did you give it?
4.25.
Nice. I think that's the first time you've had the highest rating.
It is.
Charlie Waters will be back, because that name does strike.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing that's coming back.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, So we'll do a couple more episodes next week.
Yeah.
And let's see what's coming up.
And a little bonus thing here. I have somewhere on my computer, maybe at some point I'll post screenshots or find a way to get it up there as like a note or something. I don't know how we'll do it, but there was a point where I think it was the director of Bend It Like Beckham, was it Renata Chada or something like that, or Betty Thomas from Hill Street Blues, they flip-flop, were going to direct that big screen movie of Dallas.
Oh, right. Okay.
John Travolta and JR. I have the script.
Oh. Whoa.
Yes. Actually, John Travolta is going to be at Comic-Con this weekend in Boston.
Body.
But, I have the script. And
I would love to read that.
I think Jennifer Lopez is going to play Sue Ellen or something.
I remember hearing about that, and it just sounded awful.
Katie Cassidy was going to play Lucy, and
I could see, but Jennifer Lopez I could not see.
This could have worked as I think Shirley MacLaine was playing Miss Ellie, and I think it would have worked if they had taken the script under a National Lampoon. Once you read the script, you could see it as a National Lampoon's Dallas.
Well, that's what I heard, that like that's what Larry Hagman and Patrick Duffy, the only way they wanted it to come back is to be something like that, and I feel like that would have just pissed me off.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked that.
Because it's, and it would have been a little bit like the new Dark Shadows movie, and how it was kind of like a mockery of the show.
It was.
I don't know.
Now, did you watch the early 90s one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt running around the...
Yeah, so actually the 1991 Dark Shadows is what got me to fall in love with Dark Shadows, because that aired when I was 15 and it introduced me to, I hadn't really heard of it before. And right. I was like, what is this? And I totally fell in love with it. I was obsessed with it. And then it was canceled after 12 episodes. And then that's what got me interested in going and watching the original 60s series.
That's what I did.
With David Selby from Falcon Crest.
Yes. That's true.
And the boom mic operator was in it in a few shots in the background, and people would fall over.
it was live to tape, and they hardly ever did a retake, and so people forgot their lines all the time. Set pieces fell over. It's amazing.
It reminds me of you know, when you do live to tape and all that stuff back in those days, it reminded me of, I'm writing a piece right now, I'm reflecting on the film program that I've been part of at my camp that we started in 1989 and we've run through up to here. Back then, we had to shoot using VHS cameras, and you had to shoot in order because we had no editing equipment. So if you didn't like a scene, you had to rewind the tape, record over that, and record the next scene. You had to keep looking at each scene and then recording over it, or laying down like 2 seconds of this, and it was difficult.
Yeah.
And it was just, my, how far we've come.
Well, when I learned to edit in college, it was 3/4 to 3/4 cuts only. So everything was in order, and it was like you're losing a generation because you're going from tape to tape. And
A-B editing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Assemble editing and insert editing.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Awful.
Well,
did you ever take a film course and you had to splice the film and you had to look at it under the little microscope thingy? And you had to pull out the film and actually cut the film and tape it together?
I never had to edit film, but I did have to. I learned to edit audio with reel-to-reel.
Ugh.
So, well, similar.
I remember long weekends of editing. Cutting film.
So thank you for joining us for this episode. Please join us next time. In the meantime, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can take a look at the show notes and it'll give you all that information. Mostly if you're on a smartphone, just look at our, just click on the show and look at our show notes and you'll find all of our socials. All right. Until next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all come back.
My place. Just what is my place?